This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Today we're continuing our series, Jesus Center Stage. I'm sitting down today because we have had a week. My goodness, I mean, it really had just been a full week. Had a chance to address the Rotary Club on Tuesday. Just want to tell you that because there was a lot of significant people in the room that knew nothing about what we're doing here at the Second and Francis. So it's great to tell. I love to tell the story and help people understand what's happening. And then, of course, the opera's been going on since Thursday. Full house Friday and Saturday nights, probably again tonight. People that don't know anything about what's happening at Second and Francis discovering this diamond in the rough, so that's really awesome. Been raising funds for our DR trip all weekend and just trying to get, you know, what God wants to do to be a part of his plan, and I'm just really thrilled and thankful to have you a part of it as well. As Randy said, if you're new today, love to meet you out there in the East Lobby and say hey, mug you, and just welcome you to what's happening down here. This Jesus Center Stage series is based upon a parable, or really a vision, a story that someone brought to me 4 years ago. And they said, I just see this as a picture of what's happening with your church and with your work downtown. And I've kind of held on to it. I've shared pieces of it, but I've never presented it like this in a comprehensive way. We started it last week, and we began by talking about the shaking. Everybody say the shaking. Man, nobody likes the shaking, right? I mean, it's not comfortable. How many of you understand the world is going through shaking right now? Just this morning, the headlines, if you've seen them in the news, there were two different church bombings in Egypt, Coptic Christian churches, 43 dead, over 100 injured just this morning on Palm Sunday. And that's just a sign of the times that we live in. The world is shaking. And, you know, sometimes we initiate the shaking through our own decision. Sometimes God initiates the shaking. We sang it this morning, we will not be shaken. So, okay, I need to figure out how to put that into my message because that kind of goes against what I'm talking about. Sometimes God initiates shaking, but that doesn't mean you have to be shook. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's good to be shaken, but that doesn't mean you have to be shook. God is faithful and he's good. Even whether you initiated it or somebody else did, we will not be shaken. But sometimes God shakes things to initiate his purposes. And I wrote in my notes this morning that the shaking I'm talking about is for the purpose of waking. You know, if someone's asleep, sound asleep, and you call their name and they don't wake up, what do you have to go do?
Shake them.
Shake them to get them to wake up. I kind of think that might be happening today, especially in the American church. We've kind of been asleep for a while, and God's waking us up to some realities. Sometimes the waking is necessary. The waking is important enough to God that he would shake us. And in the vision, in this story we're telling, the tree was this massive oak tree plucked up by the roots, shaken violently, all the rock and dirt, you know, falling off. We talked about the shaking last week. You might want to listen to that message if you weren't here. But the shaking had a purpose. I was thinking this morning that when, you know, this is the gardening season, right? And if your plants are growing too close together, what do you do to them to help them grow larger? You thin them out, don't you? And I was thinking, you know, it's interesting how by transplanting us in this location, it's allowed us to grow larger. Isn't that an interesting concept to think about? We couldn't have grown larger, crowded. We'd had to be transplanted in a different location so that there was room. Remember the Lord telling me in the other building that this place was too small, that place. And that was 15,000 square feet. And I was thinking, how are we going to build, add on, you know? I was worried about that. We had architectural plans drawn. Little did I know the Lord already had a 50,000 square foot building with a 20,000 square foot annex right on the backside. So God is just so amazing. But the shaking process is not fun. It's not something that you would really look forward to, but God has a purpose in the shaking, or if you will, the pruning process. I thought of this verse in John 15, 2, talking about God's purpose in pruning or shaking. Jesus said, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. What's the point of the pruning? so that he can cut us and we can bleed.
No.
It's to produce more fruit. That's the point. And like a good gardener, a good vine dresser, we are a part of his branch that we want to be connected to. And in order for this to bear more fruit, sometimes pruning is required. Sometimes transplanting is required so that the plant can produce more fruit. The purpose of the pruning is to bear for more fruit, and God is looking for fruit. I believe in our situation, the transplanting, the shaking we went through was because he had other things in mind, other purposes in mind for us. And in my, you've heard me say this before, but I believe God loves us too much to leave us where we're at. I believe that. Do you agree with that? He loves us too much to leave us where we're at. But there's another principle that's also true. Sometimes God loves others enough to not allow us to grow complacent in our place of comfort. He shakes us, he transplants us for their sake so that they can receive life. That's a secondary purpose. He loves us enough, but it's not all about us. I remember years ago, I think one of my first messages in 2008 as pastor, I said, of course, church isn't for us. It's for who we're trying to reach. And boy, I got as many funny looks as I'm getting right now. People are like, what? Church is for us. No, it's not. You're already here. We've already reached you. We need to reach some more people who don't know how good God is and how much he loves them. So church isn't really fundamentally, of course we want you to be blessed and enjoy it because we want you to be healthy and produce more fruit so that you can reach others. See how that works? Church isn't for you fundamentally. What you're doing here today, you didn't come here for you. You came here to help us reach other people. That's why that growth check thing Randy talked about was so important to us. That's why every person should go through it, whether you've been through it years ago or not. I would just say, get refired with the vision and purpose to love, lead, and launch. Good job, Zachary. People for the destiny that God created them for. I also wonder, I was thinking this yesterday, sometimes you write a message and then God begins to tweak it and change it. I call it the polishing, goes to the polishing process. In my polishing, I was just thinking, I think the shaking, imagine yourself in the boat with the disciples and God wants you to walk on water. He doesn't want you to get comfortable in the boat. So sometimes there's a little nudging. There's a little shaking that goes on to get you out of the boat so you'll walk on water, so you'll participate in miracles, so that you'll do things that aren't naturally possible, but only supernaturally possible. That's another purpose in the shaking. God always has a purpose. He's very intentional in everything that he does. We think it's an accident. God says there are no accidents in the kingdom. Even if you didn't initiate the shaking through your own bonehead decision, right? Even if it was foisted upon you, God can use it. And sometimes he initiates the shaking because he has a purpose in mind. I like this verse in Isaiah 55:8. This is probably my core verse for today, for this message. It says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. I just can imagine him chuckle when he says that. Hey, listen, my thoughts, nothing like your thoughts. My ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That should make us glad that God's thoughts and ways are higher than ours. Because sometimes my ways just aren't high enough. My thoughts aren't high enough. And I want a better perspective. How about you? Let's pray and ask the Lord for that. Father, would you give us your perspective today? Lord, we want to learn from your word. We want to learn, Father, from what you're speaking. This vision of the upside down tree, Lord, we want to glean all the juice from that story. We want to know all that was in your heart when you gave that vision, when you showed that picture. Lord, I just am so grateful for the chance to spend some time here and unpack this. As we're transitioning into this new season as a church, as we're believing you, Father, for expansion and for increased levels of effectiveness and more life and light to be released in this city, I just thank you that you're taking us to places like former slave markets and causing us to deal with issues that need to be dealt with so that you can move us forward. Thank you, even bringing a natural sign like the sun breaking through the clouds on it's rained for 2 weeks, and the first time I saw the sun was when we said, Father, forgive us for the past, and you said, that blesses me. We can move forward. So God, we just thank you for what you're doing. We want to give you room to do more, and we say together, do it in me, Lord. Just say that. Say, do it in me, in Jesus' name. You know, years ago, I told the Lord, I said, you know, a lot of people pray this prayer, okay? I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Okay, that's, anybody ever prayed that? It's like, okay, you just surrender your life to Jesus, and that's good. But you know, I was young and stupid, and I added something to that prayer. And I said, I'll even go where other people don't want to go. And I'll do things other people don't want to do. That's a scary way to pray. Yeah, you're welcome. And by golly, he did that, you know. Another shaking happened to Krista and I. We were married now. And in 1997, we had moved away. And I was living my dream job in Colorado, working for a ministry that, you know, my work was heard all around the world. And 30 million people a day listened to Focus on the Family. And that was my stuff. And I was kind of proud of that. And the Lord began to shake me and eventually uprooted us and brought us back to St. Joseph to work more closely with the local church. And I just confess to you, working with the local church was never on my radar, was not what I planned. And yet the Lord did that to show me the condition of his church, his heartache, the politics and the power struggles that the church suffers from. And it broke my heart. I had to see that. I had to experience it for me to be shook and to have his heart. And here we are, just kind of now, like shell-shocked. What do? Again, cry out to the Lord, say, Lord, we want to be part of the solution and not just victims of the problem. And by golly, you know, he had a purpose. And we spent about 8 years helping churches and loving on pastors. And we provided a retreat for them, a pastor's retreat with a pool. They could come and they could relax and just get unplugged and spend time away. And then in 2008, the church we were attending was going through a transition. And we were asked to help lead that work. And we thought that's what we were supposed to do. And we were getting some momentum and things were beginning to build. That last Sunday, last Easter, we had 900 people in our Easter services. It had grown back up from where he had grown down to. And guess what the Lord did? He shook. And he uprooted that tree. And he put it in an unusual place. In an unusual position. And we think that shaking just sucks, right? But God says, I've got a purpose in the shaking. If you'll work with me here, right? If you'll trust me through the shaking. And God says, I have a dream for you too, if you're interested. That's exactly what he told me at Focus on the Family. I have a dream for you too, if you're interested. So I really believe that God's shaking is for a purpose. And whatever position that you're in and you're feeling that shaking, God knows what he's doing. He's always in charge. Whether we initiate the shaking or God does, he has a purpose. He has a plan, and you don't have to be afraid of it. But there is a process that you have to go through. Remember in the vision of the upside down tree, people were marveling, oh man, can that tree survive? There's no way that tree can survive the shaking. All the rock and dirt falling away from the roots. And you know, it's just like, that's not going to make it. And then God does the silliest thing. Are you kidding me? Planting it between two rocky cliffs. That's what the sides of that little, whatever that's called, that thing there, the piece of art. Those two boards on each side, those are the rocky cliffs that in the vision, God planted the tree between two rocky cliffs. You know, someone needs to tell God, trees don't grow between two rocky cliffs. They just don't. You don't do that. Anybody in their right mind who was transplanting a tree would never put it between two rocky cliffs. And upside down, hello, that is not the way, the proper way to plant a tree. Somebody needs to tell God, you don't take a thriving work that's growing and uproot it and shake it and transplant it in another location, an unusual place where no one is planting churches and in an unusual position like we're in, sitting in this 150-year-old warehouse. It's like, what were you thinking? Somebody needs to tell God he needs to shape up a little bit on his gardening skills, because he's kind of not getting the point. And here's what I want to say to you, and you might want to write this down. We never see the purpose of God at the time. We never see the purpose of God at the time. We think we have it figured out. We always do, right? Oh, we know what's going on. God gives you one of those. It's like, yeah, just wait. Hold on. As bad as it looks, or even as good as it looks, God's got another purpose in mind. And you know, I just want to tell you, set you at peace. It's always for your good. His purposes are always for your good. Those are his plans for you, right? Jeremiah says. He wants to prosper you. He wants to benefit you. He wants to grow you. Sometimes shaking is required. Sometimes in the transplant, you find your true purpose. And that's what I think the purpose of the upside down tree has become. Let me give you a little bit more definition of these two rocky cliffs. That's where the tree was transplanted, was between these two rocky cliffs. Now, the man of God who had this vision and shared it with me 4 years ago, he said, these two cliffs are like two different cultures, two different ways of thinking that never touch. It's like they're just separate, like the Grand Canyon, right? It's like those sides will never touch. Maybe until Jesus comes, maybe he'll mush them together, but, you know, those sides will never touch. And he said, it's like God put you there purposefully between these two camps, these two ways of thinking. And I've really processed that for the past 4 years. And I think you could translate that a number of different ways. For me, it means like just, you know, it could be like two different social cultures, ways of thinking. I'll tell you what, can I just be really honest with you? In this room in November, I had pro-Trump and I had anti-Trump. I have both, okay? And I've got to bridge that gap. Are you hearing me, church? I'm talking reality now. Your pastor has to make both people happy. Pro-Trump, anti-Trump, in the church. Say, God, give us grace to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. We need peacemakers in this world. Oh, my goodness. I'm not saying you can't feel strongly about something, but I think, I think Pastor Kyle at Renovation posted this today. He said, oh, if we fought the enemy as hard as we fight one another in the church. Come on. I think it could also be different economic cultures. The haves and the have-nots, right? I mean, what's interesting about this church is the variety of people that come here. There are people who feel comfortable coming in this building because it's not perfect. You know? Or they don't have a lot of nice clothes to wear, or they don't have their life all together. It's a safe place. You know, when we were out on the east side of town, people couldn't even go to church there unless they had a car, right? No one lived around that building. Here, people walk to church from these lofts around here. Here, people walk in off the street from hearing this awesome worship team. Crazy stuff. Isn't that just like God? Like crazy upside down tree between two rocky cliffs. Come on. God knows what he's doing. It could be ethnic cultures. I mean, come on. Sunday morning is still the most segregated hour of the week in America. Are you hearing me? My pastor's prayer times that I host every month, it's way too white. Those boys got no rhythm at all, right? They can't even clap. They can't clap on 2 and 4. They can't do that. It's like, come on, we want to mix up the culture. And it's a strong, I've been working on it for 15 years. But I'm not giving up. Because the vision the Lord had gave me of this church was that we were a church of multi-cultures. That's where we're going. If you don't like it, you might as well find another white church to join. Because we ain't one of them. Just tell it like it is. All right, Jesus, I didn't have that in my notes. The tree was planted upside down. Okay. So I get the two cliffs, I get the cultures, okay, I buy that. Why upside down? Well, in this vision, people had fallen off those cliffs. They like crashed and burned off those cliffs, and they had fallen into the bottom of this canyon. And there was no way out. We're talking sheer cliff sides, rock. You couldn't climb out. And even if it was physically possible, these people were so weak and damaged from the fall and from living at the bottom of this canyon without food, without sustenance, they were too weak and sick to be able to get out, even if they wanted to. And they were dying. So the Lord took this tree and planted it upside down in this crevasse so that the leaves were pointed down and the roots were pointed up. Say that with me. Leaves down, roots up. Say it again. Leaves down, roots up. Which makes no sense in the natural. But from heaven's perspective, get this, that tree is perfectly right side up. Correct? From the earthly perspective, it's upside down. From heaven's perspective, it's right side up. How many of you realize that sometimes our ways of thinking are just upside down? And we need heaven's perspective. Come on now, that's good preaching right there. We need heaven's perspective. To look at it in the natural, no, that tree's upside down. Are you kidding? Heaven's like, nope, looks good to me. That'll do. All right. Because of heaven's heart for the people at the bottom of that canyon. Thus the transplant. Unusual place, unusual position. Isn't that cool? Man, I've been living on this word for about 4 years now. I've never preached it like this in a cohesive message, but I knew that it was time. As we're considering expanding, you know, our territory and providing a larger stage, a larger platform to put Jesus center stage in this community, we've got to know the why. We just have to.
Right.
Otherwise, it makes no sense. I'm glad that the opera is enjoying our stage. I want our stage. Okay?
Right.
I'm ready to get out there and do that ourselves. Upside down. Sometimes our ways are the ones that are upside down, and God has to come in and flip the script on us. And it feels like everything's going topsy-turvy. Well, honey, guess what? It needs to be. I've heard someone say this. It's like, you know, it's just like everything. God comes in and turns everything upside down. No, he's turning it right side up. You know, that's what they said about the early disciples, right? These men have come here and turned the world upside down. No, they're turning it right side up. From earth's perspective, it looks upside down. From heaven's perspective, it's exactly the agenda. God comes along and turns things on their head. I put this in my notes. I just want to read it. I said, sometimes it's good for God to sweep in and turn things right side up again, even if it feels upside down to us. We need heaven's perspective. We just do. You know, you lose your job. Man, that doesn't feel good. We need heaven's perspective. God, what are you doing here? You know, let me see it from your perspective. And what looks upside down in the natural could just be right side up from heaven's perspective. You just got to trust him. He knows what he's doing. He's worthy to be trusted. Sometimes our priorities are the opposite of heaven's priorities. How many of you would say, I want heaven's priorities? Come on now, confess. Let me see. Because I'm about to flip your script here on you. I want to see your hands. So guess what? That means things are probably going to change. If you want heaven's perspective, heaven's priorities, then things are probably going to change. And that's a good thing. Turn to your neighbor and say, things are going to change. And that's a good thing. And that's a good thing. God always has a purpose, even when we can't see it. Now listen, if you just, for just a second, all right? If you just open up your heart and get God's heart for these people at the bottom of the cliff, then you'll know why church isn't for you. You'll know why. You'll know why we push and push and push you to serve in a role around here so that we can greet people who come in and park their car and show a smiling face there, and a smiling face at that door, and a smiling face here handing out worship guides, and a smiling face taking care of kids. Are you hearing me? Because church isn't for you. It's for the people at the bottom of the cliff. I could cry if I let myself, because I'm so aware that that's why we're here. That's why the leaves and the fruit have to be hanging low. Are you hearing me? For people at the bottom of the cliff. That's what the purpose is. And I love this verse in Ezekiel. Well, let me back up. I'm getting ahead of myself. Now, I'll go ahead and do it. Sorry, Joel. Ezekiel 47. Listen to this. Ezekiel 47, verse 12. Ezekiel had a vision too. The river of God flowing from the temple and the fruit trees on either side of the river. And I just love this. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them, and their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. I thought about this verse and the verse in Revelation that mirrors that, that the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. And I said, that tree needs to be down where people are. You know, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes even in the church we have the attitude about they need to come to us. No, we need to go to them. Isn't it just the wisdom of God to plant that thing upside down so that the leaves and the fruit go to where it's needed? Church, that's why we're here. You heard me tell the story last week about my very first encounter in this building. Remember who that was with? A young male prostitute outside of our door. God knew exactly where we needed to be. He planted the tree upside down so the leaves and the fruit could be within reach of those who need it. Come on. Come on now. See, we think we're arrogant. We think now that we're in, we have nothing else to do but just enjoy. God's like, no. We got more people to reach. That's why it's worth me upsetting your apple cart and disturbing your comfort to plant you in an unusual place, in an unusual position. And if you truly mean it, God, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. All that. Okay, very good. Boom, there you go. Let's go find the people who need this. And I'm glad that we have this facility where people can encounter God, but it isn't limited to this building by any means. But this building is a great tool. Telling you what, full houses Friday and Saturday night of people slack jaw buggy eyed saying, we had no idea. The Rotary Club Tuesday. Fascinating. That's the coolest thing. So glad you guys are there. What can we do to help? Well, let me tell you a story. I've been getting emails all week from those people. These are people in high positions. You know, I just want to say we can't give up now. I know it's awkward and uncomfortable. Y'all have paid a price to be here, and I appreciate that. But you know, I just say there's no price too great to pay to reach the people at the bottom of the cliff. I'm going to go back up to that verse in Peter, if I can find it. This is something we have to remind ourselves of constantly. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. See, God is not willing for anyone. We give up on people. I don't care how deep they are in sin. God didn't give up on you. He didn't give up on them either. And guess who he wants to use to reach them? Raise your little grubby hand. It's you, baby. It's all you. So, God so loved, I'm going to read this. God so loved St. Joseph that he uprooted a tree, shook it from its comfortable setting, removed all the rock and dirt and debris that it could draw its strength from anywhere else but him, and transplanted it right where he wanted it. See, by removing all the stuff off the roots and placing it in a position that it can't draw strength from itself or its surroundings, only from one place. Can't boast about anything else. There wasn't no boasting about the shaking. Tell me, I'll just tell you. But if it puts us where God wants us to be, and it reaches people who need to be reached, let the compassion of heaven touch your heart for people trapped at the bottom of this canyon. For just 30 seconds, let that in for just a moment. And it will revolutionize how you look at life. And you'll know that church isn't for you. And you'll know what you've been given is not for you. It's for the people who we need to reach, that are waiting for someone. There's no other way they're going to get out of there. And they're going to die in that place, separated from God for eternity. See, heaven wasn't meant for people. I'm sorry, hell wasn't meant for people. Hell was meant for the devil and his angels. Heaven was meant for you. And God was so desperate to reach you, he took a tree, hung his son on it. I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going there next week, right? For Easter. You don't care about the people at the bottom of the canyon. You're just going to church. And all this is a big inconvenience. Anything I ask you to do will be a big inconvenience. You got to have a why, don't you? You really do. If you're going to do this thing called Christianity, you got to have a why, baby, because there is no earthly reason to do it other than the goodness of your heart. And I'm sorry, no one in here's heart is that good. You got to have a heavenly perspective to want to do any of this. Because you probably got other things you could be doing. You got other ways to spend your money. And all the while, heaven's weeping for those that are trapped, have no way out unless you will go.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.